Afternoon and welcome to the Shots into Near NFL podcast for Thursday, July 23rd, 2026. I am Aaron Schatz. You know me as the DVOA guy from FTN. He is Mike Tenier. You know him from his ghost.
My newsletter.
Oh, what?
My newsletter. My
newsletter slash blog on Ghost, which is called The Too Deep Zone. And we are joined today by Dan Pizzuta, who also has a ghost newsletter called Snaps and Stats and wrote the AFC East chapters in this year's FTN Football Almanac 2026, which Mike now has a physical copy of so he can show everybody. If you're watching on video, that's what the book actually looks like if you get the physical copy. Still available in PDF or the physical copies on Amazon. And we are going to talk about the AFC East today and go through a division that is very satiated. There's two teams that look good and two teams that look bad. Listen, it's the NFL. You never know. Nobody thought the Patriots were going to do what they did last year, before last year, but it looks like two are good and two are bad.
To have and to have not. Or to have and to be the Jets.
Yes.
Or yeah. The
Dolphins.
Well, yeah, at least one of those teams but feels like purposely is trying to be bad. The other one, I think, is... It's not. It wants to be in that other group. I'm not sure it's going to work out for them.
It comes natural to them.
So let's go in order of last year's standings, which, by the way, is not the order of the projections in the book, because we do have the Bills slightly ahead of the Patriots, but the Patriots, of course, won the division last year. The Patriots come out of the projection with 9.6 mean wins. They make the playoffs in 62.5% of our simulations. They are actually projected to be a little bit better in DVOA than they were last year. Ninth on offense, seventh on defense, 23rd on special teams, which is seventh overall. Last year, they were ninth overall. So what it looks like is slightly better team, much harder schedule, although not a hard schedule, like an average schedule, but compared to last year, much harder.
Yeah, and that's what I think is going to come down to and like how we look at the Patriots in terms of how just kind of we view them publicly. Is there was so much made of how easy that schedule was last year, and we do have the table in the book of how historically easy it was. But when we talk about a harder schedule, again, it is about average this year. It's not one of the harder schedules in the league. So how they balance that, I think this could be a potentially better team overall, might not be as dominant as it looked last year because of that.
And I feel like there's so much concentration on the playoff games and the offense struggling in the playoff games because, you know, so what happens when they play good defenses? They did play some good defenses earlier in the year. Like Cleveland was a good defense and Drake May played very well against them. Not just because their offense was bad. He played very well against their defense. So it's not like when they played good defenses during the year, he was bad. It wasn't until they got to the playoffs that he struggled.
Also, they got some guys. They've improved a little bit on offense, right?
That's the other thing. Starting with A.J. Brown, but also Romeo Doubs and Elijah Vera Tucker, but mostly A.J. Brown, right? Who I think most people feel is probably still one of the top 10 receivers in the NFL.
Yeah, he certainly had a disappointing, I'd say, season last year. But I think when you look at what the overall surroundings in that Eagles offense were in general, I think you can write off some of that to just what was going on in Philadelphia. When you look at what he was doing on a per route basis, I think he was still much better. And I think how he's going to fit in this New England offense is going to be, I think, a little bit of what he was more in Tennessee than I think I wrote in the chapter. During Philadelphia, he became more and more of an outside receiver. But I think we've seen a lot of what he can do, play that big slot role, some of those plays in the middle of the field, intermediate middle of the field especially, that just were not possibilities how Philadelphia ran the offense. So I think that's going to open him up a little bit. I think having him and Doubs is going to open everyone else up a little bit. Kayshon Boutte doesn't have to be like a number two guy. It opens up to Mario Douglas. I think you can like hockey shift some of these receivers on plays to bring in different guys. And I think that just makes everyone else make more sense in that offense too.
I think they're going to hockey shift one of those guys to Las Vegas or Miami before the end of the preseason. I don't think Pop Douglas and Kayshawn Booty are both going to be on that roster.
Yeah, it seems to me like when you talk about the big slot stuff, it's almost like what A.J. Brown can be is Stephon Diggs plus right. all these other things. Like, he can do what Stephon Diggs did, but he can also go deep, right? Which, I mean, we know Drake May has a great arm going deep. Patriots had the highest explosive pass rate in the league, 13.7%. So he can do all these different things. And the ESPN tracking data still loves him. Right. Those stats aren't perfect. No stats are perfect. But A.J. Brown has done phenomenally in when it comes to getting open and catching the ball, like in those stats every year.
Yeah. And then when you look at, I kind of also had in the chapter where how a tight coverage and open coverage where he actually was on targets. And I think so much of that when he was seeing tighter coverage, just because he's running these straight vertical routes where you're just naturally going to be more covered usually. And I think there's just going to be much more variance in what he's asked to do in New England. I think that's going to help him out a lot too.
So speaking to his quarterback and his coach, that will probably improve his quality of play a little bit.
Yeah, not necessarily reading books on the sidelines during the game.
Right.
The defense we project to be better as well. They were better in the playoffs. They didn't add a ton, but Kevin Byard should be upgrade at safety over Jalen Hawkins. And the interesting thing will be whether they blitz a ton like they did in the playoffs or whether they play more conservatively like they did in the regular season.
Yeah, we saw a little bit of an in-between after they came back from the bye, where through the bye, their late bye to the end of the regular season, they did up the blitz a little more, and then they went like full Brian Flores in the playoffs. I don't think they're going to go full Brian Flores for a full regular season, but I do believe they have more of an ability to have those types of pressure looks, especially with the interior pressure that they have. I also had in the book that when Milton Williams and Christian Barmore were on the field at the same time, like their pass rush production was great. So I think when you have something like that, you can build off of, have a little more of the exotic blitz looks and rely on the coverage, which has been really good. And having a guy like, you know, Christian Gonzalez and fully leaning into that, I think that's what we'll see more of going into this regular season, which is kind of what they fell into once they figured out what they wanted to do, you know, at the end of last season.
Yeah, it's not, you know, the fact that we have them projected second in the division, I don't think should be taken as a diss, especially because, like we said, the division is so stacked with two teams. In the simulations, the Bills win 49% of the time and the Patriots 39% of the time.
Wait. That means that there's like, what does that leave? 20% of projections that go to the Dolphins and Jets?
12%.
That's still too many.
Really low. That's really low. I know it sounds high because it's more than zero.
Yes. Yes.
But, you know, I mean, you never know if some team's going to go all 99 Rams on you, right? I mean, the Patriots right. were coming off a 4-13 season last year. So, we'll talk when we get to the Dolphins and Jets about just what it would look like for those teams to actually be good. I feel like I can come up with a story for the Jets better than I can for the Dolphins, but
yes,
the Patriots should be a very good team. I mean, the biggest problem the Patriots have is the problem that all the other good teams in the AFC have, which is that the bad teams look so bad that there's like 10 above average teams.
Right.
And there's only 7 spaces in the playoffs for 10 teams that should be above average.
Right. The number over under for wins for the Patriots is 10.5. That sounds like it's right on the number. I mean, we have a line.
We have it a little lower, but yeah.
Right. Right. There's not a lot of meat on the bone. I don't see it like a play there.
E-Dog, the big dog, would like to thank Laquan for making graphics. Yes, we have graphics on the show now if you're watching us live. By the way, we do this at noon Eastern on Thursdays, and you can ask questions and make comments live during the show.
Yes.
All right, let's move on to the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo Bills, they averaged 10 wins in our projections, make the playoffs 69.8% of the time. Their offense projects third, not a surprise. Mm-hmm. Their defense projects eighth. That is one of our more surprising projections. I think it's related to the fact that pass defense carries over from year to year more than run defense, and they were very bad against the run last year. 19th on special teams, fourth overall. So we are kind of waving the Bills flag here that they're going to be really good. And I feel like Joe Brady might just stumble his way into a Super Bowl without actually being a better coach than the coach he replaced, because they have talent, and most importantly, they have Josh Allen.
Yeah, it does seem that way. I'm interested to see if there is like a little bit more of, if they're a little more aggressive on offense, because I think we wrote in the chapter, after Joe Brady took over, this became a very slow-paced, under center run heavy type of offense, which I think if you told anyone you have Josh Allen at quarterback, probably not the way you would draw it up to be slow paced and run heavy. But I think that has helped them a little bit, especially with the receiver core that they just haven't really been able to take advantage of. So I'm interested to see if there is a little more wide open passing. I think the DJ Moore trade should help. I didn't really like what they gave up for the trade. I didn't really like the contract. He objectively helps them on offense.
He should be better than what they've had, although he's not as good as you think the last couple of years. He was 62nd and 69th in route DVOA over the last two seasons. I don't think people realize that 2 years ago was down like that. They know that last year was down, but I don't think they realize that 2 years ago was down like that. You know, some of that was because Caleb Williams was a rookie and we're not completely divorcing his abilities from the quarterback. But at the same time, he has not been this, like, it's certainly not as good an addition as A.J. Brown has that.
Yeah, that's certainly fair. But this Bills team just needed someone who can line up outside and run down the field and kind of get open, which It just was not something available to them at all. So now you at least don't have every receiver on the roster be potentially better from the slot, because you can just be like, yeah, Keon Coleman could probably move into the slot, but then that's where Khalil Shakir is, or that's where Dalton Kincaid plays his best ball too. So Instead of being so just, you know, there's so much traffic in the slot there, there's at least someone who can be a threat on the outside, which just in overall, whether DJ Moore has the actual production or not, I think is just going to, in structure, help how this offense plays.
Even in the draft, they drafted Skylar Bell. What is Skylar Bell mostly? A slot receiver.
Right. Quick note, you had 19th in special teams there. Injury note about the Bills. Tyler Bass missed all of last season with, I believe, hip and groin injuries. That's why Matt Prater was their kicker last year. Prater is not in camp with them. Bass is. Bass did not kick at all in OTA's mini camps. He's supposed to be able to kick during training camp. There is no other kicker. There's no camp leg. There's no competitor there. So that's something to keep an eye on as you're looking at the Bills right now. They also have a rookie punter who's going to be competing with Mitch Wisniewski at punter. So there's some questions on special teams for the Bills.
On defense, I think a big question is whether they can get more edge rush. No more Bosa or Epinesa. Instead, they now have Bradley Chubb and second-round pick T.J. Parker, who was considered by most people a first-rounder and then got Clemsoned by whatever happened to Clemson last year, and everybody from Clemson dropped in everybody's eyes. But I think is still a pretty talented guy. Dee Alford takes over as their nickel back. And guess who's in town? It's C.J. Gardner-Johnson. He's here to make friends.
How to make friends and influence people the CJ DJ way. But usually he provides a short-term boost when he comes in before he ticks off all the players on offense.
Yeah, and that's something where he has some of this versatility too, where you can play the slot, play the box, play deep if he needs to. I think that's going to be fun in a Jim Leonard defense, which I'm excited to see, because I think there's a lot of people who have been waiting for a Jim Leonard NFL defensive coordinator stint, like going back to what he was doing at Wisconsin. I think everyone just kind of had him pegged as a future NFL defensive coordinator. And that just took a while. And what he did at Wisconsin was very different from what he was overseeing the past 2 years as the pass game coordinator in Denver under Vance Joseph. And that's with very, you know, zone heavy, too high in with at Wisconsin. It was very, you know, single high, a lot of sim pressures. I think they're going to lean into that a bit more in Buffalo. They were very good at sim pressures last year that we had in the book. So I think that's something that they can play in, create some of that pass rush if they need to, if the straight guys off the edge aren't working. If you have a full season from Ed Oliver, I think that's going to help a lot too. And I think having some more health in the secondary probably going to be big for them too.
It'll be interesting if they try more man though, because like I love Christian Benford. I think he's very underrated, but he is more of a zone guy than a man guy as far as what he plays.
Right. That doesn't look like a great personnel fit in the secondary. Do they have the size in the middle to play what Leonard wants to do? I know they've been trying to get bigger there.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to be the biggest question is if they are switching to some of these odd fronts, playing like a 3-4, if they have really a nose tackle who's going to be able to sit there and take up space.
Right.
Not sure if they have that guy they'll reliably be able to be comfortable with, but I think if you know Oliver at least is going to be on the field more, I think he still plays the run pretty well for a guy who's quite undersized for interior defensive lineman. I think the linebacker play should probably be a little better too. So I'm not expecting them to be the worst run defense in the league again, like they were last year.
Yeah. And they, you know, we showed some graphics about how low the passing numbers were against them last year. A lot of that was the run defense was so bad.
Yeah. You didn't have to pass against
them. You didn't have to pass against them. You just ran the ball. It's not, they were not number one in pass defense, certainly by DVOA, but they were a much better pass defense than they were a run defense. What?
What do you think of the beginning of this Bills schedule? At Texans, Lions, Chargers, Patriots, Rams.
That is hard, man. That's an average, you know, it's a slightly over average schedule overall, but mostly kind of an average. But yeah, that's a hard start. Texans Bills is going to be a lot of fun in week one since I'm riding the Texans so hard.
Right. I'm concerned about that Bills team getting the starting 2-3. 2-3 and how that's perceived and whether that puts them behind the Patriots off the bat. You know, whether the buy-in, whether the questions about Brady surface right away. That's something to look at when you look at that team.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Miami Dolphins. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
Miami Dolphins, 6.4 mean wins. 16% to make the playoffs. I know that seems a little high. They're 23rd on offense. I think the system likes Malik Willis. And I don't think he quite understands just how much receiving value they lost. 31st on defense. Quick, name somebody. 18th on special team. 26th overall. I mean, they replaced, like, they're on top of the new quarterback and all the problems with the wide receiver. They basically replaced the entire secondary. If you look in the almanac, right on the secondary table, we have the asterisk next to the players that left the team. The top five teams on the Miami secondary, the top five players on the Miami secondary table have asterisks next to them. Jack Jones gone, Rasul Douglas, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Ashton Davis gone, Ifeatu Melifonwu gone, all five gone. So now they have Chris Johnson, the kid out of San Diego State, and a couple of veterans.
Yeah, and it wasn't a great defense last year, so it's not as if they're losing a ton where you're really worried. I do like Chris Johnson a bit. I was a big fan of his coming out of San Diego State. So there's some promise there. It's going to be a long season on defense, though. I think that is very clear.
You said name somebody on defense, and I tried to name somebody in my head, and I froze. And finally, Brooks came to me because he recently signed a contract extension. But I just literally had to listen to you guys and like, oh yes, they have Chris Johnson. Oh, Chop Robinson. It's like a minor league defense is what it looks like now.
Zach Seiler, right, is a good player.
He can play, yeah.
Seiler and Chop Robinson last year, they went from a combined 77 quarterback pressures in 2024 to a combined 37 in 2025. So they need to get their groove back, especially Robinson, who really took a step back in his second year.
Yeah, and he was real promising as a rookie. He, I think, was fifth in ESPN's pass rush win rate as a rookie. Was winning well, didn't always have the sacks to come up with, but I think there's some promise here. You have Kenan Grant, too, who was a high draft pick in the middle of the defense. So you have some promise that you could eventually talk yourself into, and if at least there's some development there, it'll help, I think, Miami just kind of shape what they might be going forward. Again, it's going to be a pretty rough 2026.
And then on offense, what happens when we start Malik Willis for more than two games, throwing to kids from your high school team with Devon Achane running, but without Mike McDaniel's run scheme. So we don't know what's going to happen with Bobby Slowick now designing the runs. It looks weird.
Yeah. Tutu Atwell, Jalen Tolbert, and Malik Willis Washington, those are your starters. Those are your starters. If you're looking for third-round pick Chris Bell, he tore his ACL in November. They were aware of this. Chris Bell will be starting his career on the NFI list during training camp. I don't think we're going to see him for the season opener. So it's one of the weakest receiving cores going into a season that I've ever seen.
Yeah, as someone who had to put together all of these player comments, it was this guy could play four snaps. He could also lead the team in receiving. I have no idea. And you also have Caleb Douglas, who was their third round pick before Chris Bell, who might also play a little bit. We have a Greg Dulcich, the tight end, who's been getting some hype in the offseason, just because I think he's probably the only guy to throw to. But he had a pretty high explosive play rate when he was on the fields last year, so there's at least something there. Mm-hmm. I'm fascinated what this run game can look like with Achane and Malik Willis. You might have some fun things, and what Bobby Slowick learned from Mike McDaniel, because he was on staff last year. So he is a holdover from this offensive staff last year. I think the issues with Slowick when he was in Houston was there really was no problem solving. If something went wrong, he really didn't have anything to fix. He was just with Mike McDaniel, who's the only thing he's ever been able to do in Miami is problem solve, because there have been consistently so many problems, especially along the offensive line. So if Slowick got anything from that and can adjust himself a little bit, maybe there's something there that can at least be fun. But again, you're kind of lacking a lot of the talent, especially at the skill position players, where I'm not sure how much they're going to be able to get out of an actual offense.
I love, by the way, that Bobby Slowick was like on the old staffs with Kyle Shanahan, was on Mike Shanahan's staff with Sean McVay. His dad was a coach for 25 years. Like, maybe he learned something last year. Maybe there's something. I mean, I hope so. Old dogs can learn new tricks, but it's not like he was a rookie coming to football for the first time.
I do like the Packers bringing over those Packers guys. I feel like Halfley's got promise as a coach. I feel like the new GM's got promise. It's just obviously such a restart year for them. That's why the Malik Willis signing was weird to me. The Jordan Brooks extension is a little weird to me. Like, I guess they want him to lead the team once they add more talent in the next year or two. But, you know, how good is he going to be 2-3 years from now compared to how good he is now? What you could have gotten for him if you had traded him to Dallas or a team that really needs a linebacker, you know?
Well, we'll see, because I think contractually it might make him actually easier to trade. I don't know I don't think the details have come in yet. But if at the deadline or next offseason – Miami's already paid the signing bonus, that'll actually make him cheaper for another team in terms of them not having to pay a signing bonus, which they would have had to this coming year. So maybe you do get a little bit of a bump in compensation.
Just give Miami more dead money, and they have a ton, as we showed with the graphic, they have the most dead money in history.
And that's a great point, Dan, but it's so depressing.
Yes.
Like, let's burn more so we can turn this into an asset. We have to take on more risk. Oh, gosh.
The New York Jets finished last year, and they are last in our projections. But subjectively, I think they are better than the Dolphins. And I think they have a story to tell where they actually could have a good season. It's very unlikely. We have them at 6.2 mean wins and 13.1% to make the playoffs. They project 31st on offense, really bad, but 12th on defense, because they added a ton of reasonable veterans, and there's no way they're going to intercept zero passes again. They had the lowest takeaway rate. They had 1.7% of drives end in turnovers, the only team in NFL history to be under 4%. That is going to regress big time. They also have the best special teams projection, although that doesn't mean much because most special teams projections are pretty close to zero. 30th overall. Someone asked me, what would it look like for the Jets to be good this year? And I said, if Geno Smith can rebound to what he was in Seattle, combined with this defense, which is now filled with reasonable veterans, that could be, you could have a winning team. I think it's about a 200-to-1 shot. But at least you can explain how it happens.
You also, you skeeted something a couple days ago about the difference between the schedules of the Dolphins and the Jets.
Yeah, this is a huge one. The Jets, by finishing last, got the Raiders, Cardinals, and Browns as their three games determined by the schedule, while the Dolphins get the Chiefs, 49ers, and Bengals.
Yeesh.
Yeah, that is rough. And like you said, there are things you can talk yourself into with the Jets. I think where you look at, obviously, the turnovers are going to regress. All those players that they brought in are at least going to be okay, which is better than what it was last year. I like some of the pieces on offense. I think Garrett Wilson is a very good wide receiver. He hasn't had good quarterback play ever in his career, and was not on the field, wasn't able to get on the field last year. I like what they can do with Kenyon Sadiq and some of the, and Mason Taylor and some of the two tight end sets that they're going to be able to have. The fact that this offense is going to be coordinated by Frank Reich, I have no idea what to make of that.
Yeah.
The last time we saw Frank Reich, he lasted 11 games as the head coach of the Carolina Panthers. Right. And afterwards said was pretty sure his NFL journey was over. Mm. And we weren't seeing a lot of modern offensive strategy from him last year. He took over. He was the interim head coach at Stanford last year. We didn't see a lot of modern, even collegiate offense from him there last year. I'm very concerned about what that offense structurally is going to look like, even if you can talk yourself into some of the pieces being promising.
One of the things you did in the chapter, Dan, is you kind of let Aaron Glenn speak for himself a lot, because you raised the Frank Reich question. You raised questions about the defensive play calling, and just putting Aaron Glenn in his own words tells you that it seems like they're flying by the seat of their pants a little bit.
Yeah. It was that whole thing after, when we see teams fire coaching staffs and fire coaches and move on from coaches, it usually happens like maybe a week after the season. This was like weeks after the regular season when the Jets decided they were going to make all of those changes. They were originally going to keep Tanner Engstrand, who I think was okay. He wasn't great, but I don't think he was doing anything fireable, especially with what the Jets had on offense last year. And then deciding whether he was going to have a reduced role or not, and he just decided, I don't want that, so they parted ways. It was a very messy, jumbled way of how they decided to put this staff together for this next year, and it's almost an entirely new staff with just Aaron Glenn really as like the main returner. So it is strange, and I'm fascinated by how it plays out.
Bringing in all the passable, reasonable veterans on defense was interesting because everything else that they did points to the idea that they are completely setting up to be terrible and draft a quarterback.
Right, right.
That they realized that they weren't getting Mendoza. There weren't any other quarterbacks really worth getting this year. Let's club Nick in the fourth round, whatever. Like, they were like, let's go out and get young skill players. Let's build let's go 4-13 again. And then next year there'll be Manning, there'll be Dante Moore, there'll be Lenora Sellers. There's going to be, everybody feels like it's much better prospects. Everything is setting up for the Jets to finish badly and draft a quarterback. And what happens if their defense is good enough to keep that from happening?
Their defense and Geno. The number is 5.5 wins. Do you think you can find 6 wins on that schedule that you just talked about?
Yeah. It's possible. I mean, yeah. Raiders, Cardinals, and Browns, and you know whatever else they play. Dolphins yeah. twice. You Dolphins know? Twice.
That could be five. You get to six.
Yeah, start the season with the Titans too. Yeah, Browns. It's certainly possible. You know, you still have you know Chiefs, Chargers, Broncos playing the AFC West, so that's not easy. But it is. There is just that disconnect between what the talent of this entire team is, how they still have draft picks, still have multiple first round picks because of the trades they made last season when they knew they weren't going to be good. But then bringing in all those veterans on defense, it's just, they're telling two different stories. And I think those just might kind of get in the way of each other.
You're right. I got that wrong with the division games. They do play the AFC West. It's not the Chiefs and the Raiders that are the difference. It's the Titans
and the
compared Colts. To the Colts. That's the difference.
That's still pretty significant.
It's still a big difference. My fault. I apologize for that. I misread the schedule.
Okay.
But yeah, the rest of the AFC West is tough.
Absolutely.
So again, we have it with Bills 49%, Patriots 39%, Dolphins 7%, Jets 5%.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying Jets for playoffs or anything like that, but if you like over 5.5, I don't think that's I don't think that's impossible. I think that's a possible lift for them. And again, you're right. That'll take them out of quarterback contention, although they've got extra picks, so maybe they could move.
Are there any of these teams, Dan, where you feel like there's a significant chance that we're really wrong in one way or the other?
No, not really. I think it stays the same where I could see, you know, I could see either the Bills or the Patriots probably being like the best team in the AFC. Again, I wouldn't be surprised by that, but with the projections aren't that far off from suggesting that could be the case either. And I don't really see the path to how, you know, and maybe it's the Jets, but again, like I wouldn't believe it. I wouldn't put my case on the Jets being a team that can be good and maybe be pushing into a wild card range. But I guess you could, you know, see it if what we saw from Geno Smith last year just was a complete aberration. But I'm not totally sure that's the case either. So I think it is very clear it's the two tiers of the teams in this division.
Yeah, I don't want to bet on big rebound at his age.
Yeah.
Right? If he was younger, you'd be like, oh yeah, regression. No, not at his age. He's probably done. And therefore their offense is going to be terrible.
Agreed.
All right. That does it for the show, folks. Thank you, Dan, for writing these chapters.
Absolutely.
And thank you for joining us. Mike Tanier also. Okay. So once again, the book, make sure you buy the FTN Football Almanac 2026 at Amazon or ftnfantasy.com/almanac. Read Mike's newsletter, The Two Deep Zone. Read Dan's newsletter, The Snaps and Stats. Join us next Thursday at noon. We will hit another division. Do I know which one we've decided on yet? No. Will it be an Eastern division? No. We've already done the Eastern divisions. It'll be a different division. Thank you to Laquan Jones for producing. Again, noon Eastern next Thursday by the Almanac. So long, everybody. Thanks for joining us.